from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman as we discuss about what is going on financially in the world, because Bob writes a newsletter called The International Forecaster that comes twice a week, and that 35 pages somewhere in there, a lot of information that you need to know out there, the listening audience, if you have any hope of surviving the terrible financial times that lie ahead. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, terrible financial problems do lie ahead, and those green sprouts you read about in the newspaper, understand they play games with your minds, and they come up with these little phrases, green sprouts, spring, recovering from the winter, and those green sprouts are toxic weeds that are going to come up and choke out everything. Certainly the market is being manipulated upward, and they do manipulate the stock market, and they do manipulate commodity prices, and they do manipulate gold and silver prices, and they play games with our minds about what's going on. But we are moving into terrible, terrible times. General Motors is going into bankruptcy, and major corporations, many of them all across America, are having terrible problems, and certainly we find that the shipping is down. We're not seeing the recovery that they'd like you to believe, because they're playing games with your mind. Well, with that as a background, Bob Chapman, thank you very much for being with us again.
Well, you're welcome. And I'm just trying to think of all the various kinds of propaganda that we're talking about here, and misdirection, this green spouts. I mean, I never heard anything so stupid in my life.
Well, but you see, if people sort of imagine that green sprouts coming up, spring is here, we're over the winter, we're over the worst times of this economic crisis, without ever pointing out that, of course, we still have a quadrillion and a quarter of derivatives that are going to have to be purchased. And since we've accepted that, of course, that the banks are too big to fail, the big ones who wrote the derivatives, we're just going to have to absorb those, and we'll just have to come up with $250 billion, and in the process, of course, destroy our currency and impoverish our people. But nobody's ever looking beyond the obvious and understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people, just exactly as the American State Department did in Zimbabwe over this last decade. Hey, Bob, I just want to mention that we will be here doing a program on Memorial Day, so keep us because I think that, we need to talk about these things if we have any hope of preserving what those brave men fought and died for so many years ago. So you go ahead.
Right.
Why don't you bring our listeners up to what is really going on in the financial markets, not what they read in the controlled media.
Well, I was just thinking that the green sprout things reminds me of a Gordon Rorschach test. You like that one, huh?
Yeah, I think that's great.
I just happened to be thinking about it. I remember the first time I did a Rorschach test, and it was a graduate student who was doing it for his doctorate, so he asked me if he could do me. And he said, after he finished, he said, boy, what an aggressive individual you are. Anyway, that said, I think, is that the music?
I'm afraid that's the music. Yeah. So let's just tell our listeners, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Bob Chapin, for the International Forecaster. We're going to be back in just a couple of moments, a couple of minutes, as we continue our analysis of what's really going on in the world today that you need to know about if you hope to survive. Bob, go right ahead, pick up the story.
Well, what's really going on is such a wonderful phrase. And, you know, you don't really think of it that way, but it is. What's really going on? Because the public is not getting what's really going on. They're getting all this propaganda and misdirection and so on from various government agencies that have people that they pay lots and lots of money to who go out and do those kind of things. And part of that is not only social and political, but it's financial as well. And, you know, this past, I would say 2 weeks, there's been all of these announcements by people on Wall Street, banking, central banking, in Washington. I mean, even the head of the European Central Bank, Trichot, is telling us that the worst is over and it's going to get better. We have been hearing this for 22 months, and nothing has gotten better. The banks say, well, we're going to pay back those TARP funds. But yet they're in the marketplace selling $7 billion worth of stock here, $8 billion there, the next group is $6.3 billion, and then $10 billion and so on. Well, if they had the money to pay back TARP, why are they in the market selling stock that just went up 50%? Because the market was rigged because they don't have any money. It's pretty simple. And incidentally, I got an email today, which is in the next issue, from a fellow whose fiance or wife has a friend who works for a large brokerage firm. And all the people at the top were selling their stock in the last 3 days in their company. And so that's where they think the banking stocks and the market are going, which is down, because you sell if you think the market's going to go down. And so this is the game that they're playing on people. We saw 6,600 on the Dow, and immediately, in a two-month period, we went up to 8,500. The market is now on its way down. It'll go to 6,600. I don't know how long it'll take to get there. Maybe the whole summer. And it'll test, and I don't think it'll hold. No matter what government does, they're going to have a hard time holding it there. The economy's not going to get better this year. We went from the fourth quarter of a minus 6.3%, the first quarter minus 6.1%. My guess is in the second quarter,
it'll be
a minus 5%.
All right, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapin. He was just saying that in the fourth quarter of last year, the gross domestic product fell about 6.7%. The first quarter of this year, the gross domestic product fell about 6.1%. What you are actually seeing is the gross domestic product in the United States, that's the measure of really the all the financial activity. We're back to about where we were in 1982, aren't we, Bob?
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe even 1974. And I'm looking for a minus 5 in the second quarter, and the third to fourth quarter minus 4. Next year, when the bulk of the stimulus package is spent, because it's an election year, that's the way they planned it, we probably will get even. But it still constitutes a depression. By that time, unemployment on a U6 basis, real unemployment, will be 22% or higher. And inflation will start going up this month because of the monetization CDO debt, which is collateralized debt obligations in the market, and it's called toxic garbage as well, purchases by the government, by the Federal Reserve, and also the purchase of treasuries. And that's going to affect the market immediately. And now is immediately. So by the end of the year, inflation will be looking like it's going to become nasty again. And that's being reflected in the bond market. Very quickly, the 30-year bond and the 10-year note have both broken down. They have broken down through their 200-day moving average lines, and it's over. The 20-year bull market in bonds is over, and interest rates are going to go higher. We saw a 4.78% mortgage this past week, and I think what we're going to see, and we predicted this at the beginning of the year when the 10-year was 2.35, it's 3.17 today. On Friday it was 3.35. It's going to 3.50, but it's going to be a lot quicker than I had imagined. And so you have all of this problem, these problems, the bonds, the stocks are going to go back down, real estate is going further down, and so do you say to yourself, what do we go to? Where do we put our wealth? How can we protect ourselves? And of course, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know of any other place to go, it's gold and silver related assets. So I think that's a picture of the next year and a half, and it's not a good one, and quite frankly, after that it's going to get worse. And it's not funny, but it's ironic.
Well, it is really so tragic. In fact, I was reading today, Andrew Jackson's farewell address. It was 1837 when he was leaving office, and he was talking about what the banks had done to the economy of this country. He talked about, you know, cities in just total disrepair and the despair in the country that had been wrought by the central banks intentionally in the way of punishing the population because they'd supported Andrew Jackson and hadn't supported the bank, and they were going to wage, he talked about the war being waged against the people. Well, if we look at many of our cities today, you know, there's a war being waged on our people by our banks. They've created intentionally this whole problem because they really want to destroy the economy of this country. They have a different view. They've plunged the whole world into financial chaos, and they hope that out of that financial chaos will come this one world government that they want. And that's what Henry Kissinger says in his classic article on the 12th of January, year 2009, in the International Herald Tribune. Nations will have two choices. It's either join the new international order or, of course, face chaos. They think that they can force every nation in the world into this world government. The first time they've ever had the opportunity to do this in all recorded time, and this is the time when they hope to accomplish their ultimate goal. The New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Currency, the destruction of Christianity, and the New World Religion they want. So things are moving in their favor, but of course it's going to be at a terrible price to the American people. Well, Bob,
I think they're going to be unsuccessful.
Well, I hope you're right.
And I think it's because of what we're doing. I know that we're getting from millions and millions of people, and I know that what we're telling them is going to be taken in and taken to heart and mind. And I think people are finally going to do something about it as we go into these last stages of hyperinflation and then deflationary depression. People, I think, are starting to get a feeling of what's coming. Very shortly, we'll be like we were in the 1940s and 50s when everything was difficult and we had to watch every penny. And if you made $8,000 or $10,000 a year, you are really upper middle class, so you can see what we're dealing with here. And so I think that the people are starting to really come around. On the front for the Illuminists, the Brotherhood of Darkness, and all of their organizations, they're all going to get caught in their own trap. And hopefully we can bring them all to trial before the mob gets a hold of them. And that's a distinct possibility, because they're going to want to know who did this to them. And they're not going to be as reserved in retribution as we might be. And so that's the way I think the future over the next 3 to 4 years shapes up. And hopefully Stan and I will be a lot around to help people in those days cope with what's coming.
Well, I certainly hope that you and I both will be here. Well, you know, it's fascinating, you know, as we see, we hear them talking about we've got to do something for the homeowners. Oh, we're coming up with a wonderful program to help the people who are going to lose their homes. I remember, of course, 6 months ago, they had a program called Hope for Homeowners, and it was a wonderful plan. They were going to renegotiate the loans for people and allow them to stay in their homes. They planned to help 400,000 people. And I read an article recently that said, well, one mortgage has been negotiated on this wonderful government program. They've got this new program, this TALF program that they've set up. And of course, they're going to start buying up all these assets and so that people can stay in their homes. And certainly, it's almost a guaranteed profit for anybody who goes into the program. The only trouble is that they limited the people who can go into the program. And these people are afraid to get into anything with the government for fear that they're going to change the rules, as they did with the bankruptcy laws. I think it's so important for people to understand the significance of the Chrysler bankruptcy, where they have altered all the laws of our nation so that they could turn the company over to the union and to Fiat. Now, Fiat's not going to put up any money. They're only going to come up with what they say is a very fuel-efficient engine. They're going to get 40% of the company And, of course, they just have you wonder why they don't put it up for bid and let anybody bid on the company. But, of course, the head of Fiat is a member of the Trilateral Commission, and the last thing they would want is for one of their friends not to end up with Chrysler. And so that's what it's really all about. Could you explain the significance of what happened as far as the banks and the hedge funds, the pension funds that had lent money to Chrysler, thinking that they had a lien on their assets?
They had no lien because there are no rules. The federal judge, Mr. Gonzalez, has been bought and paid for, just like our congressmen in the House and the Senate. And so there is no law anymore. It is what they want it to be. And when you have the court system involved, they have two-tiered court system, one for the rich, wealthy, the connected, the Illuminists. They get a fine if they do something. And Stan and I, if we do go and do something, well, it's a long jail term because we're not in the inside. And they own the jails now, and they need plenty of people to go there. And so that's the kind of government we have, and that's with the poor people, professionals, mind you, who bought the bonds in Chrysler are faced with. 28 cents on the dollar. And incidentally, the earn-in for Fiat is 51% if they produce that plus 40-mile-per-gallon car for Chrysler for the road in the United States. And so we get the labor union, United Auto Workers, who are in part responsible for the problems of all of the industry because they continue to demand higher wages in the face of a world where wages were being reduced because manufacturers of all kinds were moving offshore because of the high cost of doing business in America. So they're going to get 58%, and the U.S. government 8% for $8.4 billion, and the Canadian government and the province of Ontario, they get 2% for $2.4 billion. And it goes on and on. It's all favoritism. They want a mega car company called Fiat. And Fiat is not going to sell in America.
And Chris, what I think is that, of course, it's ultimately going to fail completely when they come out of their bankruptcy. I mean, unless the economy turns around, why, people aren't going to start buying these cars. And the unions are going to lose. And the American taxpayers have put all their money into this. And we've been funding this up to, I don't know, how many billions of dollars. And the taxpayers are going to get repaid. And certainly, the major investors are going to be repaid. Somebody's going to end up with all those factories and going to come out doing very, very well. But then it pays to belong to the Trilateral Commission, like the CEO of Fiat Motor Company. I wonder if that played any part in the fact that they gave them 40 or 50% of the company. Go right ahead, Bob.
I think that the 40 or 50% is the consolidation.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
we find that we have a so-called stress test. Oh, we had the stress test, and we found out that all of the banks passed the stress test. Of course, a few of them we found are going to need a little additional money, like, of course, Bank of America. I think they're going to need some $37 billion, and Wells Fargo is going to need a great deal of money, and you go down the list of all the people, GMAC, they're talking they're going to have to raise something like $60 or $70 billion just so that they can have the amount of money that they need to cover all of their losses. And, of course, what happens if they lose more? Well, go right ahead and pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, Meredith Whitney, who 2 years ago this coming June exposed this whole thing with Citigroup, and that's where it started, and this is where the whole thing came unglued. She said today on CNBC that a lot of the assets the banks are holding are rotting day by day. And she said, this is not the last bailout. There will be more. And what she's telling you, as one of the great experts in America today on bank stocks, is they're all broke. It's simple. They're broke.
Well, she has some excellent information. Incidentally, if anybody wants to go to her website, I think it's called fiercefinance.com, but you can pull that down off your search engine. But Meredith Whitney, an excellent source of information, puts out a report every day with five major issues and a lot of sub-issues, but she certainly keeps you abreast of what's really going on with the banks. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Ray, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I have a comment, actually, that I'd like to add to the discussion. The fact is that Obama, among other people, he's hired Ellison to be his tech advisor. And Ellison is going to lay off 20,000 people at Sun Microsystems if they bought it. He's one of the most evil men in business. And yet Obama picks him as his tech advisor. And that is the last straw for me. I can't stand that man anymore. I wish there was some way we could get him out of office.
Well, how now? Do you have any contact with Microsystems?
I was involved in the electronics business for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked at Hewlett-Packard, and I know all about Ellison, and he's one of the most evil people that in the world.
All right, fine. Let's get Bob Chapman's view. Would you have any thoughts at all about that, Bob?
That's true. Absolutely true. And if I don't forget, it was 1998. There was a big stock scandal involving him and his company and his selling and all of that sort of thing, and he only made, I don't know, maybe $700-800 million. I mean, these people, when they get into corruption and evil, there's never enough money for them. There's never enough power, or what they look at as power, to solve their egos, because usually they're either evil or they're underperformers.
Ellison, he does a lot of, they make software, okay, for accounting, okay? It's the worst software in the world for accounting. I know, because my sister is a CPA, and she's complained about this for years, that Oracle makes a lousiest software for accounting. The man has just done some horrible things, and I've been watching him over the years, and, I've been watching Oracle. Now they've got a stadium named after him in Oakland. I can't stomach it anymore. I don't even want to read the newspaper anymore, because I know they're, for one thing, they're putting all the newspapers on the Internet. And it's just, the whole situation is really frightening to me. And I think Obama is thumbing his nose at the American people by picking somebody like Ellison to be his advisor.
Well, I think you have to understand, Ray, there really are people who hate America. They believe America is responsible for all the problems of the world. And a lot of these people are in government today, and they're doing everything they can to destroy our nation. They know that if they destroy the value of our currency, they'll destroy the stability of this nation. And why do you think that they're creating all this money? They know it's inflationary. They know where it's going to end up. They just don't want the American people to know until it's too late. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Ray. God bless. And we'll be back in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Bob Chapman, and certainly, Bob, there are lots of things going on. Certainly, Ben, most people really can't connect the dots. What do you think about General Motors' chance of survival, or do you think they're going to go into bankruptcy as well?
Bankruptcy, and they'll be chopped up. And what's going to be really interesting is in the bankruptcy for GM, which must occur within the first 3 weeks of June, how are they going to neutralize the naked derivatives that were sold on the bonds of General Motors? A derivative, or collateralized debt obligation is what it's called, is a piece of insurance. You all own $1 million worth of bonds in General Motors, and you want to get that high yield, but you also want to be protected in losing your principal. So you get a derivative, a CDS, to cover that. And many of the writers of CDS, collateralized debt obligations, went naked on them. They had no collateralization. They threw the money to the bottom line to show profits in order to make the stock go up so that the officers in the company could sell their options, which were $10 or $20 or $30 for $80 or $100 a share. And so I think there were, on GM bonds, three times as many derivatives sold on those bonds as bonds existed. And so I don't know how they're going to settle that. And that is going to be a major problem for government. That's what happened with AIG. They funneled money into AIG, didn't tell you where the money was going to be applied, and after investigation we found that AIG had funneled the money that came from the Fed to the people that they owed money to, because they were the writers of naked CDS, or collateralized debt obligations, or insurance.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and just our guest this evening is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Bob, before we go on, I'll put out our number. If people would like to call, we'll ask Dave in Albany, New York, to hold on. But if you'd like to speak to Bob, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But right now, of course, Bob, why don't you give out your telephone number, tell people how they can get in touch with you, or if they want to subscribe to the International Forecaster.
The Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish via Internet on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually run around 35 or 40 pages. And we have a hard copy, which goes out twice a month by hard copy, goes out twice a month for those who do not have email. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com, or you can email us, and that address is bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
All right, five. Well, let's go to Dave, who's calling from Albany, New York. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Stan. Good evening, Bob.
Do you have a question for a comment for our guest?
I got a question for Bob. I've got a daughter and son-in-law that are in their early 30s, and, of course, they're getting advised to keep all their money in their IRAs and just, be patient, you're young. In this situation we have now, are they even young enough to recoup? Or should they come out and go to gold and silver, as you suggest?
Well, I think if they're in IRAs, they can go into gold and silver, and they can open up an account to do that.
Okay, get like a gold and silver IRA?
Right. There's Gold Star that they can go to, and there's a few dealers that we recommend who, and we never take money from anybody we
right.
recommend, incidentally.
Right.
And
right.
They can do that, or they can purchase gold and silver shares in there as well.
Right. Yeah.
And if they want, all they have to do is email me, and they'll tell them what to do or find someone to help them.
Right. Oh, that'd be great. As this market's going down, for those of us that have a few extra dollars to work with your, do you have some put recommendations? But I suppose we need to call you direct on that, do we?
Well, I do mostly shorting.
Shorting?
Puts are a wasting asset, and
are
you're
they?
Working against time.
Time,
and
of course.
And time costs you money. And I'd rather see people short the stocks themselves. We've been quite successful doing it.
Yes,
there's
heard.
Some great opportunities here with the market beginning
yes.
to break down. And so I believe if one has the acumen and is suitable for them and they know how to trade, then it's okay. But 98% of the public shouldn't be doing that.
Right. So it sounds like the priority right now is just maintaining what wealth we have.
Wealth preservation.
Preservation takes priority.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
when everything else, like in the 30s, goes down 60 to 95%, even if your gold stays at $900, and even if silver stays at $13, you're still a giant winner. And if we're right, we have hyperinflation, we could see gold at $300, we could see silver at $100. So who knows? All I know is it's the only place to go.
Okay, Dave, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Is there any way these guys can avoid hyperinflation? You brought up.
No, they've already started.
I mean, is there any way to avoid it? It's got to break eventually,
right,
doesn't it?
Yeah. What's that?
It has to break and go eventually, doesn't it?
Well, yes. We're working against a factor here that of waning power, and that is the Treasury and the Federal Reserve have been interceding in the market to try to keep gold prices down. Their success over the last 10 years shows that gold went from 250 to 1,000. Not so successful, but partially so. The reason why inflation since 1980 would give us $2,700 gold, that's official. Real inflation is $6,000 gold, not $2,700. So we got a long way to go. The first phase is over with. The second phase is going to begin, and it's going to be very powerful and very quick when it happens.
Okay, fine. And what about the third phase?
Yeah, what's that?
Is there a third phase?
No, there's either three or four phases.
All right, fine.
And the next work up from, say, 2,700 could be to 5,000 or 6,000. And it may end there, or it may go to 10 or 12,000. On the other hand, the bull market could come unglued, and it might stay at, say, 3,000. We just don't know. Well, we do know one thing at this stage. Gold and silver are going higher, and it's the only place to keep your money, to keep it intact.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
God bless. And let's go to Sandy, who's calling us from Spokane. That's Sandy from Spokane, Washington. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Sandy. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good.
Have a question or comment for us?
I have both.
All right, fine.
The comment is that I wanted to warn people of something, because anybody who works for the state of Washington, which my husband does, the deferred compensation, you cannot get your money out. They will not allow you to borrow against it or get it out, and I would suggest anybody try and quit contributing to it. And that is my question also, because is there any way we can get it? It's a 457 type of account, and they will not allow us to borrow against it. They will not allow us to draw it out at any point. The only way you can get it out is to quit work. And, of course, people don't want to do that. Does Bob Chapman or you have any suggestions?
Bob, I'm going to let you answer that one. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, there is none short of leaving. And it's a tragic situation because most of the pension and profit-sharing plans right now are down around 30% because they've rallied substantially over the past 2 months. I expect that they will go down in the best case at 4,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You will probably see about 60 to 65% losses net. And we're going to be very lucky if the Dow stops there. I mean, you know, this, what we're seeing is one of the five major collapses in the last 1,000 years in finance. We had the black nobility of Europe, which is the Illuminati today, take over the banking business from the Crusaders, which caused the collapse. We had 1348 in Venice. We had the early 1600s based in Florence, and then we had the collapse of the early 1870s in the United States, and this is going to be worse than all of them.
I was very fortunate in the fact that I listened to people some time back and switched my husband's deferred compensation, the 457 account, over into the safest possible assets, and so we only lost like $1,000, but you know, they just won't let us have it.
Well, I think, Sandy,
we have quite a bit in there.
Sandy, the thing is that they've got you trapped, and of course they don't want to give up that money. They want to hang on to it just as long as they can. This is why they've got the rules set up the way they have it. And you certainly don't want to have your husband lose his job. So just put that behind you. If you get it out, fine. If you don't, you go on from there and make your other plans accordingly. But there's no way you can fight the system, unfortunately. And jobs are hard to come by, so you keep them working, okay? And whatever else
yes.
you can save, why, then invest that wisely.
Well, and I just wanted to warn people that have any money in that account, the deferred compensation with the state of Washington, to probably quit contributing, which we did over a year ago, but still we have a lot of money in there. We just can't get to it.
All right. Well, just forget about it for the time being, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens. And I know it bothers you, and you've worked very hard, and I'm sure your husband's worked very hard to accumulate it, and you hate
yes.
to think about losing it. But down the line, the government's going to have to steal money from some source. In Argentina, they've simply gone in and stolen the pension funds. In Zimbabwe, where we put the government in power, they simply go into the bank deposits and steal the money out of the bank deposits and say, we need the more money than you do. We need the money to maintain the high lifestyles of the military and the police. So we're going to take your money, and if you want to complain, why you just file a petition. Here's the telephone number to call. It doesn't do any good. Okay, so just keep smiling between clenched teeth, okay? That's all you can do, but don't let it get you down. It's only money.
And okay, thank you.
God bless. Okay, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we're living in fascinating times, but remember, of course, as Bob will, I'm sure will tell you, that there's a spiritual component to everything going on. And there is, certainly he talks about the Black Nobility and the Illuminati, but these are all organizations tied into the occult. Once you begin to realize that we are fighting a spiritual battle in the financial battlefield, all you can do when you see these things happening is realize, all we can do is draw close to the Lord and focus upon Him. And a lot of us, if we can survive with anything when this whole thing is over, we're going to be ahead of most people, because I fear an awful lot of people are going to lose most of what they have. What do you think is going to happen as far as the relationship of gold to silver? Traditionally, it was 16 to 1. Now it's around 53 to 1. It's got a long way. I think silver is going to go up. But with this being an industrial metal, do you think it'll ever return to being a monetary metal, that is silver?
Possible, but not probable. And I don't pay much attention to the ratios. And the reason why is that we have markets that are manipulated. And when you have that, you can't use ratios or waves or cycles, and you can't use technical analysis for the most part, except on a long-term basis. They've just messed up every market, and it's really dreadful.
Well, now, of course, you've been writing in your international forecaster that some people who are involved in the commodity market have actually called for delivery of the gold. Well, what happened in this latest time? Has that come up? And, of course, they were a good time to keep delivery. Did some people actually take delivery on the gold rather than just playing the commodity market?
A substantial amount, probably about one-third. And usually it's less than 1%. And so they're beginning to take delivery and in a big way. And I don't know what the comics is going to do, because a couple of more delivery months like that and they're not going to have enough eligible gold. One of the strange things is that they're talking about their inventories and they're unchanged and they're delivering out. And so they're lying about their inventories at COMEX. And so, you don't play there. You abandon that market because it's rigged. And you just go to the spot market.
Well, can you actually buy gold on the stock market, on the spot market?
Right, taking immediate delivery, usually for cash.
Okay. But then that's what you have.
You know, that's the way to go. And, of course, what a lot of people have been doing is that they have been buying physical gold and silver bullion and coins all over the world. I mean, for the last year, up until just recently, delivery was very, very tight, very difficult, and it's loosened up somewhat. But all of that gold is going into investment, and it's big. People are fleeing their currencies.
Well, I think
they're afraid.
Well, they ought to be afraid, and certainly the history of, if you read the history of what's happened time and time again, going back to the days of ancient Greece and Rome, and as you pointed out, what happened in Venice, what happened in Florence, certainly what happened in the United States when we established our nation, what happened in France in the early 1700s and late 1700s, and certainly what's going on today. They're simply examples of the failure of a fiat money system, and most people get wiped out. Those people who are in gold and silver at least maintain some semblance of their wealth. But this is what people don't understand because they don't teach the history. In fact, everything is done to conceal the truth about these fiat money systems from the public. They don't teach our children the importance of something behind the money. They tell us that money is worth, has value, and it has no value unless it has backing, and no currency in the world today has any backing behind it.
Well, you're right about that.
What about the Chinese? What are they doing now? Because we heard that they've doubled their gold reserve.
Stand there in serious trouble. I mean, they get 30 million unemployed. They're spending $576 billion on stimulus. And then they're ramming the banks forward, taking them to $1.2 trillion. And it isn't going to work. I mean, you look at Keynesianism, and it's never worked. It's been a short-term palliative. They've never had to deal with a monstrosity that they're facing now. They're not going to be able to inflate their way out of it.
Well, I think you're probably absolutely right, and I think that all we can do is try to warn people about what lies ahead and to try to get them to, you know, make their preparations for the very difficult times. And, of course, I really believe that we're going to see a breakdown of local governments. We're going to see breakdown of state governments. They're simply going to run out of funds. We'll see the inability to fill the potholes in our roads. And suddenly you can't solve this problem by printing more money because you create runaway inflation. And yet that is exactly what they're doing. The most massive expansion in monetary supply, I believe, in history is taking place today under the Obama administration. May God help us. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program today.
You know, Stan, I've heard that before.
Yes, sir.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-6000. 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
I have a book written in 1899 by Mr. Wahlberg, and of course he was a lawyer who was writing. It's called The Coming Battle, and went into the fact that how the banks were suddenly setting up a situation where eventually they could take over complete control of our country. Most of the copies of the book were destroyed, but somebody found a copy and has reprinted it, our friend Paul Walter. The Coming Battle is must reading because it's like reading deja vu all over again. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Coogan, and at least according to Gertrude, after she wrote the book, it's called The Money Creators, how they created money and certainly did everything wrong during the Great Depression. She said she was contacted by a group of very wealthy men, asked to write a more extensive book about the background of money, put in everything she could find about money. They gave her a good deal of money. She wrote the book, and when she completed the manuscript and gave it to the men who paid her, she asked when it would be printed, and they said, never. And you will find this effort to conceal the truth about the banking system. We carry Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which, of course, goes into the background of international banking and the various families involved. And then, of course, that book was actively suppressed. Somebody bought up the publishers, destroyed the plates of the first half of the book. Gary Allen wrote a book in 1972 called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which was the summary of Professor Quigley's book. 7 million paperback copies are out there. Initially, you could find that at any bookstore, but used bookstore, try to find a copy today. We do carry paperback copies of it, and you can buy the hardback copy up on Amazon, but somehow or other, those 7 million paperback copies, most of them have just simply disappeared. And then, of course, we have so much material that we put together a syllabus called Financial Armageddon. We have a great talk called A Financial Tsunami. It was given about 3 years ago. It comes with a syllabus. Important information you need to know, because we told you exactly what was going to happen. We explained the derivatives. We explained what was taking place as far as the hedge funds and the carry trade. And you really need to get this talk on the financial tsunami. We carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. We carry the book Fiat Money Inflation in France, which tells what happened in France after the French Revolution in 1789, and you read that book, and it's like deja vu all over again. We have two pamphlets we've written. One is called The History of Money. The second one is called The Financial Meltdown, and all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then I want to mention the conspiracy conference. It's going to be held on the 6th and 7th of June. I'm going to be giving the lead-off speech on Saturday morning. We just finished the PowerPoint presentation, and I'm really very, very pleased with it. If you can come, I think you'll find it fascinating. That's the conspiracy conference, June 6th and June 7th, a Saturday and Sunday. If you want information, why, it's conspiracycon.com on the Internet, conspiracycon.com, and you can go in and get your order in, or if you want the telephone number, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. The girls have the telephone number, and that's 1-800-544-8927. And then don't forget about the Radio Liberty Conference. It's going to be held on the 25th of October here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. If you've been there before, you know it's a great program. And we're going to have, of course, Tom Horn will be there talking about his information on some of the bizarre experiments they're creating today, creating animal-human hybrids. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, these things are really going on. Dr. Blaylock will be there. Going to be a great time. So if you'd like to, you can get information on that from our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We were going to hope to have a special guest on here to talk about weather modification, weather control, but so far we haven't been able to reach her. So if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a subject you'd like to talk about. But maybe we could just start off talking about weather control. Last year it was a very, very strange year. Early in the fire season, for a short period of time, we had about 1,800 wildfires here in the United States, and created tremendous devastation, certainly over the forests here in California. We were bringing in firefighters from all over the country, and then as the year went by, why, of course, we didn't have that many fires. We had some devastating fires, but nothing like we had very early in the season. And it was really such a surprise that we'd have that many fires at such a short period of time. 1,800 fires at one time here in the state of California. Well, we got off to a bad start here about a week ago, the Santa Barbara fire, and I don't know how many homes were burnt. Last I heard, 75 homes, but these were million-dollar homes, beautiful homes. Fortunately, the weather did change, and it cooled down, and they got some fog, and they were able to bring the fire under control. But suddenly, the thought of these devastating weather changes. We're having more tornadoes than we've ever had before. We're having more wildfires than we've ever had before. We're having all sorts of problems with massive flooding. And, of course, up there at Fargo, North Dakota, there, and certainly the Red River flooding over its banks. It had a terrible time there. They haven't had a flood like that in, 30 or 40 years. The weather is changing, and is it happening by accident? Can man change the weather? And the answer to that is, of course, man can change the weather. And I believe man is changing the weather, but it's all classified because they don't want Osama bin Laden to know what our government's doing. So we can't let the American people know because they might tell Osama bin Laden. And if that sounds a little tongue-in-cheek, it is. But there's an organized effort to conceal the truth about what the government is doing from the common people. We do know that they will, or they have the ability to modify the weather. How do we know? Well, first of all, we know and we have a copy of a book written back in 1970 by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was certainly one of the most powerful men working behind the scenes. He was the National Security Advisor to President Carter and is primarily responsible for the Afghan war against the Soviets and for the formation of the Mujahideen, who became the Al-Qaeda. And well, if you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book in 1970 called Between Two Ages. Interesting study is to try to get a copy. They're very expensive off the Internet. You can get them, but it was an inexpensive little paperback book. But somewhere between pages 55 and 65 in the footnote, he talked about how in the future, 30 years in the future, which would be 10 years ago, we would be able to create storms and droughts and create new chronic diseases. Well, we have all sorts of new chronic diseases, and I believe that they have the ability to create storms and droughts. We'll be back here in just a moment, or give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we're not doing very well with getting our special guests for this evening, so we're going to talk about whatever you out there in the hinterlands would like to talk about. But we know that about 1977, why the United Nations signed a treaty on weather control between the nations, and they all promised not to use weather modification as a means of warfare, one nation against another. And then, of course, we know that they used weather modification during the Vietnam War. They used it to actually create monsoons over the Ho Chi Minh Trail, so that the roads there, over which the North Vietnamese were bringing their weapons down, became simply flooded out. They were just full of mud, and they became totally impassable. And it was an excellent vehicle of defeating the enemy, but it was using weather modification as a means of warfare. But then the treaty was signed about 1977. We actually have a copy of that, which we can make available to our listeners, going into the background of weather warfare. We know that, of course, they have the HAARP program up in Alaska, and they have a number of similar antenna arrays where they're able to beam tremendous amounts of voltage up into the ionosphere and heat the ionosphere. And when you heat the ionosphere, then the stratosphere and the atmosphere rises, and of course that changes the course of the jet stream and other things here in the United States. So understand that they have this ability. HAARP is up and operational, but it's secret, and they will not tell the people the truth about what's going on. Oh, they have some websites. They have a lot of disinformation there, but I believe that HAARP is the method of weather modification. The man who actually developed this whole concept certainly agreed with that. It has many, many uses, but weather modification certainly is one of them. So there is this capacity to modify the weather, and of course they can modify the weather. You can go up actually on the Internet and type in weather modification. You can actually find that there are companies that you can hire to bring rain to your area, and they do this by seeding the clouds with iodine and other products. So, but if you have any doubts about it, go up on the Internet and certainly just type in weather modification companies. They're there. They're not imaginary. They're very real. And you can actually hire them. They've used these in countries throughout the world to bring rainstorms and monsoons. And, of course, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and you have a question or comment, we do carry a number of books on this. We have a book called Weather Modification. We have a four-tape set on weather modification. We have certainly a DVD on this subject. And we actually have that United Nations treaty. It was actually about 1977. So certainly we think the DVD we carry by Bob Fletcher is excellent information on weather modification. There is no question they have the ability to do it. The question is, what are they doing today? Are they perhaps creating some of the changes that we see? Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I don't know if you know about it or not, but the NASA and a fellow named Kurzweil, he's linked with the Army, with the Pentagon. They're creating a what they call a Singularity Institute in Mountain View, where Moffett Field used to be. And they're planning on building a center for advancing technology toward making an artificial human being, a machine human being. And it's all, the nightmare that, you know, is coming true, I think, as far as them being able to build an artificial intelligent creature. And they're working on this, and they're using public money to get this thing started, and it's actually going to be built. And this Kurzweil is absolutely crazy. He's involved with the he's in link with the Army and bioweapons technology. He's one of the developers of bioweaponry at the Pentagon. And he's involved in this Singularity Institute. And they want to build a sort of a university-type campus, you know, where they actually create an artificially intelligent human being from machine parts. It's absolutely insane. I heard about it because there was two articles. One was in the Chronicle not too long ago, and the other one was in, believe it or not, a Rolling Stone magazine, which is dedicated to the youth thing. But it was in these two magazines and in the Chronicle, and I was very upset because I think that people should say something about this. It's just awful. They shouldn't be tampering with that sort of thing and creating an institute using taxpayers' money to create a university a campus that is investigating this biotechnology to create an artificial human.
Well, I think that
it's actually happening.
Lots of things are going on that really are very frightening. The idea that they're actually trying to create animal-human hybrids. They're actually taking American brain cells and injecting them into mice. And so you're going to end up with very, very smart mice.
Oh,
but, of course, when you start to begin creating these animal-human hybrids, you're simply playing with God's plan for humanity, for the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
And I believe God is going to intervene one of these days. You know, you go back and you really study what was going on at the days of Noah. Now, we suspect that there was a very advanced society that existed at that time.
Yeah.
And because it was doing all sorts of things that were in violation of God's plan.
Right.
And there was this cross. There were these Nephilim. They were the cross between demonic beings with superior intelligence and knowledge and, of course, the daughters of man.
They
created these superhuman beings, or call them what you will, the giants that they called them. And it was really felt that that was why God had brought his judgment and wiped out all of humanity with the exception of Noah.
Yeah.
And his family. Is that possible? I believe it is possible.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if you study the occult literature, they will tell you that there was this wonderful society they called Lost Atlantis. And Atlantis had been this center of tremendous knowledge and wisdom, and then it was destroyed by a terrible flood. And so what they are really doing, and you read a great deal of occult literature, they will tell you that they're trying to restore lost Atlantis. That's what it's all about. In fact, Francis Bacon, who died in 1628, had written a book called The New Atlantis, and he was talking about America. America, this new continent, America would become the new Atlantis that would lead the whole world into the one world government. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what's going on today. That's why we have our troop station in 130, at least 130 nations, some people say 150. That's why we're fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq and soon be at war with Pakistan. That is really what energizes all of this scientific knowledge, of course, what they're doing right today. We build our satellites to spy on the Russians, but they're being used to spy on the American people today. In fact, they've hired 140,000 census workers going around door to door marking the doors. How are they marking it? They're marking it with a GPS localizer, and they simply dial in your location, and now the satellite knows exactly where you live.
Now they have their
Predator. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes on Sunday, but they pointed out that they have all these Predator aircraft there. They have them flying over Afghanistan and Pakistan. And people can sit in their comfortable laboratories there in Nevada and launch these terrible weapons that can be used for mass killing there, and you don't even see the people you're involved with. And what happens if you hit the wrong people? What happens if you hit the civilian enclave? Yeah. What happens if you misinterpret the information? It's all a video game. But, of course, thousands of human beings have died because of the Predator attacks. Some of them may have been the members of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but people have forgotten. The United States financed Al-Qaeda and Taliban. In fact, Taliban is a word for student, and of course what they did. Well, the United States, USAID, United States Agency for International Development, put out $51 million for Arabic textbooks to indoctrinate the youth of Afghanistan and Pakistan in this radical form of Islam, and many of them ended up joining the Taliban, and now we're killing them. But they are a direct byproduct of our effort to create this radical Islamic movement was lying dormant. And now we have our army officers playing their little games with their Predator aircraft and using their Hellfire and other bombs, simply 500-pound bombs, to kill people, and some of them may be the people we trained, the people we're financed, or people financed by the Pakistani government that we are financing, or maybe they're simply the students that we trained with our textbooks over there who became the enemy. And it's all a game, about how many people are going to die. And certainly they can use those Predator aircraft against the American people if we were deemed to be the enemy, too. And could God be preparing all of this to bring his judgment upon America?
I think so. You know, this Kurzweil, it's interesting because this man that's headed up this institute, Singularity Institute, he's hooked in with the Pentagon. He's a bioweapons a specialist. I guess he developed some of them. But they have a tremendous amount of power, because if they can use taxpayers' money to do this sort of thing and have nobody complain about it in the media, nobody has said anything about it. I can give you a copy, Dr. Stan, of these articles that I'm talking about, so you can see with your own eyes that what I'm saying isn't a fantasy.
I'm sure you're absolutely right. But, I mean, it's all like the bad scientists are in control, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember what happened when they created a Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's right.
It got out of line, or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yeah. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and are you concerned about what Ray is talking about? The millions of U.S. tax dollars are going to be used over there at Moffett Field to try to build a human being, or a simulation of a human being. They've always wanted to be able to create mechanical soldiers so we didn't have to send men out, so we could have these mechanical soldiers, or super soldiers, as it were.
Well, I had one other thing I wanted to say before I say goodbye. Obama has a health care initiative, and I picked up a paper the other day, and I found several interesting people that were involved in this, that were going to give speeches in a conference, I guess in Santa Cruz. One of them was Barbara Marx Hubbard.
What's Barbara up to these days? People who, out there who don't know, she's one of the very wealthy women. My understanding is she's the heiress to the Marx toy fortune, Toys R Us. But she is deeply involved in the occult. She wrote a book called The Revelation, the New Book of Creation, which was channeled to her by a demonic spirit, where she talked about the necessity of killing a quarter of the population of the world and said, "That is not your job, my dear, that is ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse death." So is Barbara coming to town?
Well, apparently she's going to be, I read this article, and they talked about becoming one with the earth or something, some kind of environmentalist far-out fantasy that they have.
Oh, hold that thought for just a moment there, Ray. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is going to be open lines because our regularly scheduled guest is not here. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have something you'd like to talk about. Love to hear from you. We'll be back in just a minute. Ray, hang on there. All right, Ray, go right ahead.
There's one thing, I think that these people are...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Weather. We have something called chemtrails, and once you know to look for them, you'll actually see them in the sky. And they do this by simply going up and spraying in the stratosphere. And of course, they seem to be using barium salt, titanium, that seems to vary in various areas. But of course, we have a 4-tape set on weather modification. We interview people who actually have gone into the background of this, and this is talked about in the scientific literature. And the whole idea is we could counter so-called global warming by creating a canopy of mist up in the sky, particles of these various barium, titanium, other things, and this mist in the stratosphere would actually reflect the rays of the sun and abrogate a global warming. This has been advocated by Dr. Edward Teller and by other scientists. We don't know exactly what they're doing, but we do know that the chemtrails are not imaginary. They are real, and of course they are utilizing them, and they could use them for all sorts of things. They could use them for dissemination of disease. They could use them for creating a canopy up there. They could use it for altering the weather. But all of this is top secret. There have been incidents where people have actually come forward and admitted what they were doing. And our good friend Bob Fletcher has put together a great DVD on weather modification where they actually interview some of the people working for the military where they admit that they are actively modifying the weather by these techniques. But they cannot let the average American know. And so this information, of course, is poo-pooed, and anybody who talks about chemtrails is immediately marginalized and demonized. But this is another method of weather modification. They have the HARP program, which, of course, is... And then they have the ability to alter or steer hurricanes. And, of course, we've seen examples of this where a hurricane would be headed directly towards shore, and then they could divert it. Of course, they had one. Of course, it was headed away from shore, and they diverted it onto the shores of Florida. And then they had to conceal the truth because it wreaked terrible, terrible devastation and destroyed, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of homes and destroyed factories and businesses there. So all of this information, we'd have a great 4-tape set. We may even have 2 4-tape sets on weather modification, but I know we have a great DVD, and we carry a Jerry Smith's excellent DVD on weather warfare. We also carry his book on HARP, plot against civilization or something of the sort. Anyway, if you just ask for the book on HARP that we carry, the information is available from Radio Liberty. We hope you'll get it. And, of course, we have a 4-tape set on HARP. We have a 4-tape set on chemtrails, as well as the other information we've talked about. And, of course, it's all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you're out there listening and you'd like to give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And perhaps you'd like to talk about what's happening with the economy. Perhaps you'd like to talk about what is happening as far as this so-called swine flu epidemic, which is really a fascinating subject as you analyze it, because, of course, we've never seen so much hype for a disease that's created as little damage as this one has. In fact, there have really been only a handful of cases of people who died in Mexico as a result of this, and they keep juggling the figures around. Originally, we were told it was 149 people had probably died, and then we heard it was 16 people, and now it's up to about 19 people or 21 people. The figures keep changing all the time. But, of course, we do know, of course, that this is a very, very strange virus because it's an avian flu virus. It is an Asian swine flu virus. It is a North American swine flu virus. And it's a human virus all combined into one virus. How could that come about? Well, it could come back about in the lab. And they really do have laboratories that are working to create new and deadly diseases. We have the writings of Zygmunt Brzezinski back in 1970 talking about how they were going to be able to create chronic diseases. But, of course, there are other types of diseases. They can cure acute diseases. They've actually have the swine flu, the flu virus of the 1920s. They dug it up. They're working on that in our laboratories. Why are they doing that? Are they planning on creating an epidemic? Well, I never tire of hearing that song. Of course, when I was growing up, that was a very, very popular song, but we don't hear this much anymore because there's an organized effort to destroy patriotism in America. After all, the major thrust of America's foreign policy is one world government and globalism and an intense hatred for everything that smacks of love of country. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-2-8255. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. And, of course, we've started talking about the recent swine flu influenza, and everybody's talking about how they're working to come up with a vaccine. There doesn't seem to be any effective treatment. Tamiflu certainly may help, but certainly some children develop all sorts of psychiatric problems when taking Tamiflu, and certainly there are real problems as far as resistance to Tamiflu is concerned. And it really doesn't cure the disease at all. It may shorten it a couple of days in intensity. There's no proof that it's going to save any lives, but that's all that they will admit that they have at the present time. Certainly, we've mentioned before, when I start coming down with the flu, I take something called Alibiotic. It's a combination of oil of oregano and allicin, which is the active ingredient in garlic and elderberry juice and a couple of other products, and that and the rather large doses of vitamin D3, 5,000 units, and it usually will hold a cold off, and I've been able to stay really for 15 years. I can't remember any day I've taken off because of the influenza or cold in the 15 years we've been doing talk radio. And, of course, we think Alibiotic works very well for ourselves and our families. But we wanted to get back, of course, to the subject of the vaccines. They say, well, we're working on a vaccine. If we get a major pandemic, we've got to be able to have a vaccine to give to the people. And the question is, do you really want to take a vaccine that is produced by our government or under our government supervision? Let's go into the origin of the AIDS epidemic. Who was it who first came down with AIDS in the United States? Why, it was the homosexuals in San Francisco and in Los Angeles and in New York City. And it was the disease was primarily, initially, among the young men who took an experimental hepatitis B vaccine. Homosexuals were recruited to take the vaccine because, of course, they had a very high incidence of hepatitis B because of their lifestyle. And so many of these young men volunteered to take the experimental vaccine to see if it would prevent them from coming down with the disease. Well, it may have helped them prevent them from coming down with hepatitis B, but 75% of the homosexuals in San Francisco came down with HIV disease, came down, developed AIDS, and most of them are long since dead. And the same thing was true in Africa. It was in those areas of Africa where they used that same hepatitis B vaccine that the major epidemics occurred. And, of course, the epidemics are spotty in Africa. It's not every place in Africa. It's only certain places in Africa. And we know that there was not just one strain of the virus. There were 8 different strains of the virus. 8 different strains all appeared spontaneously in different parts of the world. Do you really believe that happened just by accident? I don't think it did at all. In fact, the first cases and the only place you could find HIV-2 was in a laboratory monkeys in the laboratories here in the United States until they took some of those monkeys and turned them out to the wild. So I think that there is a great deal of evidence that the virus was in the original vaccine. It was spread through the vaccination process, and certainly there's a book written by Gary Glum, who actually interviewed a man who was dying of prostate cancer, who came forward and said, I was part of the program that created this disease and disseminated it across our land. Certainly, Dr. Garth Nicholson's book, Project Daylily, covers the same thing. We actually have a book, Emerging Viruses, by Len Horowitz, the story of the onset of the disease. And then, of course, we carry the book by Don Scott, which we have in stock, AIDS, the Crime Against Beyond Belief, the Crime Beyond Belief. And so they're all available. We don't have full disclosure by Gary Glum, but I think there's no question that the original AIDS was spread by the process of vaccination. And if that has occurred, could you ever trust any vaccine that the government put out? We do know that during the Second World War, because they were concerned about the danger of yellow fever and of our soldiers going into the South Pacific, they developed a yellow fever vaccine. But it just happened just by chance to have the, I believe it was hepatitis B, anyway, it was a hepatitis virus, and 25,000 American soldiers who took the vaccine came down with yellow fever, came down with hepatitis as a direct result of taking the vaccine that was given by the military, and of course many of them died as a result of that. And in fact, probably more died of that than they would have died if they'd gotten the yellow fever. And then, of course, we also know about the Baxter vaccine. Recently, the Baxter Corporation was sending out a vaccine. I believe it was a flu vaccine, influenza vaccine. It was going to be distributed all over Europe. It was disseminated, but the Czechoslovakians insisted on checking the vaccine before they gave it to their people. And what did they find? Well, they injected it in ferrets, and the ferrets all died. So then they checked it, and accidentally, somehow, they'd gotten this influenza, bird flu, this virus that kills birds readily, the H5N1 virus, had gotten into the vaccine they were going to be giving to all of the people of Europe. And fortunately, when they recognized it, Baxter was forced to withdraw their vaccine, and they just had no idea. Well, if you'd injected that into the people, of course, you could have gotten this disease to grow in human beings, and then it could be transmitted from person to person. How could you possibly accidentally contaminate a massive shipment of influenza vaccine with a potentially lethal H5N1 virus? That is the bird flu that we heard so much about a couple of years ago. And then, of course, we do know that the first cases of Marburg disease was one of these hemorrhagic diseases, very, very similar to Ebola fever. And, of course, this was initially seen in a place called Marburg, Germany, before the Ebola ever appeared in Africa. And it happened that there was a shipment of monkeys that was sent to Marburg, where they had a laboratory, an animal laboratory, and they were planning on killing the monkeys, the shipment of monkeys. They were going to kill them and use their kidneys to grow the polio virus on, and then they were going to create a vaccine and give it to people all over Europe. But the problem was that the health facilities there, they insisted on isolating the monkeys for a period of time. And the monkeys, being quarantined before they were to be sacrificed, started to die. Well, that was rather, rather shocking until the people who were taking care of the monkeys began to die. And, of course, they went to the hospital, and then the doctors and the nurses who took care of the people who had been taking care of the animals began to die. And they had a massive epidemic of a completely unknown, completely new disease, a hemorrhagic disease. And, of course, I think about 34 people died. They were able to isolate it by quarantining them. And, of course, some few people got the disease and recovered. But a number of people died. All the animals were eventually sacrificed. But isn't it interesting that the disease occurred in laboratory monkeys that had been sent to create a vaccine with? That's the story of the Marburg virus. And, of course, then we saw the Ebola, which is almost a kissing cousin, identical virus, suddenly occurring in various areas of Africa. But in the human beings, it didn't occur in the animals at that time. There was only later it spread into the animals. It always occurred in human beings in isolated areas. And, of course, they had to go in and quarantine the areas. And a lot of people died of the disease. There were various strains of the disease, all different strains. The only strain that ever came to America was actually in, of all things, laboratory animals. And, of course, fortunately, the disease did not spread to human beings. They were able to isolate it. But why do so many of these diseases occur in laboratory animals but not in wild animals? Is it they're introduced into the animals? Well, of course, we do know, of course, that there was the Gulf War illness. The Gulf War illness, I mean, we probably have 200,000 or 300,000 people who have Gulf War illness from the first and second Gulf Wars. We know that large numbers, tens of thousands of them, it's estimated that 82,000 of them have died. You will never hear this discussed, but if you hear my interviews with Doug Rocky, and we even have the information from the Veterans Administration talking how, as of January of not this year, but last year, over 80,000 people almost 80,000 of the veterans of the first Gulf War are no longer living. That means they're dead. And those are just the ones that they know about. How many others have died that they don't know about? I have no idea. But all so many of these people, and where did the Gulf disease come from? Gulf War disease? Well, it was about 40% of the people had a genetically modified mycoplasm, and this was a disease that was actually spread to the families and to the wife and the children of the veterans would get the disease. And this is all covered in my interviews with Dr. Garth Nicholson, because these men took their vaccinations. Do you want to take a vaccination? Then the anthrax vaccine destroyed the lives of tens of thousands of our servicemen. There's Sydney. They've used the servicemen for experimental vaccines, and they've given them vaccines that have created terrible, terrible diseases among our people. We know that the original polio vaccine had a simian virus number 40 in it, and it was discovered by accident by a woman named Bernice Eddy. This story is told in a book called The Health Century, written by Edward Shorter. The Health Century, written by Edward Shorter, you can buy it on the Internet. It was authorized by the National Institute of Health and actually financed. They wanted to tell what a wonderful job they'd done, but the book told the truth. It told how, that the original polio vaccine that they gave, a lot of it actually was contaminated with a live polio virus, and an awful lot of people died or became permanently crippled by the vaccine that was given to prevent people from dying and becoming crippled by polio. And they knew the vaccine was infected when they gave it. That's the incredible part of this story. You've got to read the story of the Health Century. And then, of course, the woman who actually had determined that the original vaccine had live virus in it was going to be devastating was a woman named Dr. Bernice Eddy. And instead of being thanked and congratulated for what she did, she was banished to a laboratory working for the NIH that was doing research on viruses producing cancer. But she snuck into the laboratory where they were investigating the polio vaccine once again, because she'd been very interested in that. And she noticed that a lot of the cells were dying, and she hypothesized that there was a cancer virus there in the polio vaccine. And she actually put forward a paper on this, and she was told she would never be allowed to put out a paper out again, except that the chief virologist for the Merck company actually identified a cancer-producing virus in the polio vaccine. And you would think they would be grateful to, of course, Dr. Bernice Eddy for having found that, but instead, why, she was banished from ever doing research again, and of course she eventually died of breast carcinoma. But Dr. Bernice Eddy had found there was a cancer virus in the original polio vaccine, and once the government acknowledged it was there, what did they do? They continued distributing the polio vaccine that had the cancer virus both in the United States and throughout the world until the supply that contained the cancer-producing virus was gone. And countless millions of people developed this. Of course, one of the things it does is produce mesothelioma. And, of course, they have all these lawsuits against asbestos for mesothelioma, but some people have mesothelioma. They've never had any contact with asbestos. But, of course, many of them, when they evaluated their cancer, they found it contained this cancer-producing virus. But they've suppressed that information for years. Do you really want to trust a vaccine created by the government? Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to talk to us. And then, of course, we know that they produce a choriogonadotrophin in the tetanus vaccine that was given to women in Kenya and in the Philippines, and I'm sure in many other areas of the world, so the women could not get pregnant. And, of course, this sensitized their bodies so that if they did get pregnant, why, it would actually, they would abort. And, of course, this was discovered by a nun over in the Philippines, who actually got a specimen of this vaccine. It was given because, of course, the World Health Organization was so concerned about women getting tetanus. So they offered free tetanus shots, but only to women in the childbearing age. why, if you were concerned about tetanus, would you only give it to women in the childbearing age? Because it contained a Cori gonadotropin that was, it would actually destroy any pregnancy they had. And, of course, eventually, of course, this was brought out of why they said it was just a mistake. Why we never would have done anything like that. I'll never forget talking to one of the leading virologists in the country on, and he was certainly probably one of the five leading experts on vaccines, and we had a nice conversation till I brought up the abortifacient vaccine that they'd given in the Philippines and in other countries, and immediately started shouting, "I can't hear you, I can't hear you." He hung up, and then we tried to call him back. His line was busy. And I believe he knew exactly what this was all about. But the last thing they want is for the American people to know what they have done to our people, whether they've put things into the vaccines in this country. We do not know. We know that a lot more people are dying of the Gardasil, the hepatitis B vaccine, than we're saving lives from cervical cancer. In fact, cervical cancer is really a non-problem in the United States. We only have about 3,000 people die a year of this, and although that's a tragedy, none of those lives would have been lost if the women had gone in for their pap smears. And if you go in regularly for a pap smear, well, you're not going to have a problem with cervical cancer. Almost non-existent in the United States. And yet, of course, they're giving all of our girls this this human papilloma virus vaccine that is, of course, causing death and allergies and convulsions and destroying the lives of many young girls. We have a four-tape set on the HPV vaccine. We've recommended. We have another number, a great new four-tape set called Vaccine Update 2009. We recommend you get this information and understand the dangers of vaccines. They say vaccines are safe and effective, and I don't believe it. And if you don't believe that there is at least a potential opportunity of the government to put things into vaccines that could be lethal for the population, let me suggest a book. It's fictional. It's written by Tom Clancy, one of my favorite authors. It's called Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six. If you haven't read it, you need to get it and read it, because it talks about this group of people that wants to kill off most of the world. And, of course, in the foreword of the book, Tom Clancy said the book is fiction. But there's here information in this book the government does not want you to know. And when the people, of course, took the vaccines, it killed off most of the population of the world.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Utilizing vaccines to produce terrible damage to our people. In fact, if you go back and you read Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, he talks about through diet injections and injunctions. Diet injections and injunctions. We're going to be able to so mold the minds of our young people that they will never be able to think counter to what they've been taught in school. And, of course, you'll find that pages from the book in my syllabus, The Hidden Agenda, talking about the what happens as far as the water fluoridation is concerned, but certainly we could carry this over to the vaccines that they're giving to our children today. We know that the Amish children do not develop the neurodevelopmental abnormalities we see in regular children. Almost one in every six American children today has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. About one in 60 boys has autism. One in about 160 children, but the disease is much more common in boys than in girls. And so you see a very high rate among our boys, but you don't see it in Amish children because they do not allow them to take the vaccines. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there really are evil and wicked people out there. We have a wonderful book by Neil Miller entitled Are Vaccines Safe and Effective? It's small, but it's well worthwhile reading. And you'll find out that most of these vaccines they're given are really not effective. In fact, we still have epidemics of measles and whooping cough. And if the vaccines were effective, why do we still have that? Because the immunity wears off, you know, when it's given artificially, whereas if you get measles ordinarily, of course, it lasts your entire life. So we are not healthier because of vaccines. We're far less healthier. They're associated with, certainly with the increase in juvenile diabetes, the increase in allergy disease, the increase in asthma within our people, and, of course, the increase of our juvenile arthritis in our young people. But you're never going to hear this discussed. That's why the book, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective, is so vitally important. Then we have another book by Neil Miller on autism, which simply goes into the congressional hearings on the background of autism, congressional hearings that have been totally suppressed across America. If you really want to get into a very large book, we have the Vaccine Safety Manual. It's about 500 pages. The other books are very short and easy to read, but if you want the detail, get the Vaccine Safety Manual. It has a foreword written by Dr. Russell Blaylock. We have a four-tape set on vaccines. We have a new four-CD set called Vaccine Update 2009. That's Vaccine Update 2009. And we think it is vitally important that you get this information and you get it to other people out across America. They're damaging the lives of our children. There is no medical justification for giving the hepatitis B vaccine to infants in the nursery or newborns because it could do tremendous problems. It will not do any good. There's absolutely no medical justification unless the mother has hepatitis B, and I'm not even sure that'll help because, of course, the child, you know, their immune system doesn't work. So why are we giving it at a time when the child is most vulnerable? Well, I believe that we're doing far more damage to our children because there really are people out there who hate humanity. And if you want to do damage, would you go to work as simply a doctor in a local community, or would you get into a job in government where, of course, you could have a profound impact on the lives of people? And I've been to the Centers for Disease Control. I talked to some of the people there about the AIDS epidemic, and I realized they had no intention of stopping the AIDS epidemic, and over 500,000 Americans have died unnecessarily. And, of course, the disease is spreading rather widely among the blacks. 1 in 16 black men and 1 in 30 black women in the United States will contract HIV.